Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
You can give us a call live. We're live right now. And our number here is 486-3181. 486-3181. And I believe somebody will take the message and bring it to us.
Amelia
will. Okay, so I have with me here.
That's Caritha.
Okay, I have with me here Mike Wall, who is our manager, and Pam Foreman, who is our development director. She's like
we
our
just
everything.
Went right through her head. What do we call Pam?
We call Pam a lot, let me tell you. Pam! Pam! She's kind of a little bit of an everything person. Her and Willie, they solve all my problems, I'm telling you. Okay, so Caritha is calling in for us, and I think she's on the line. I'm going to pull her up, all right? We're just going to try this. We practiced it earlier to make sure it works. And so, Caritha, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Holler, you're a little light on the volume there. So Caritha is calling in from home because she's working at home right now. She went into self-quarantine. So maybe without giving too many personal details, you got exposed to somebody who had been in Seattle. And so you said, I need to do the responsible thing. I believe that's what you told me, the responsible thing.
That's correct. Just as a safety precaution, decided to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Working from home to make sure that I don't develop any symptoms and that my friend who's staying with me doesn't either.
And what I thought was interesting is that there are a lot of people who are doing this, and I wanted to point out that we are doing that here at KMXT because that is what you're supposed to be doing. And don't
right.
feel embarrassed or weird about it because it's happening all over town.
No, and I think a lot of people understand that and are making the right adjustments to make sure that working from home can still work feasibly.
And so you've been working at home for a week and 2 days. How is that going?
Well, I mean, it's kind of nice to be able to go to work in your pajamas every day. But I think that
we're doing
being
it
able
here
to...
too. We're doing it here.
Pajamas? Who's got anything on, right? We could be... Okay, go ahead.
It's a little bit odd to be in your house all day. I mean, it's kind of nice working with my cat next to me, but... being a reporter, it actually doesn't change a whole lot. It just means I can't go interview people in person. A lot of my reporting is done over the phone anyways. So just as long as I have a laptop and a phone and a good internet connection, I'm pretty much set to go.
And do you have any hints and tips for people who are in isolation or when they go into isolation?
I mean, having only done this for a week, I'm sure that there are people who are better qualified to answer that question, but for me, the last week and 2 days, I think what's really helped is establishing a good routine. So I get up at the same time every day, and I write my stories around the same times. I submit at my two deadlines at noon and at 5 p.m. like normal. I try to do my normal lunch at 12 like I would do if I were at work. And then after work, I like to go for a walk just to kind of unwind and make sure that I can get out of the house and get some fresh air and stuff. So I think that kind of structure helps it feel a little bit less weird being at home and not having, like, you know, coworkers around you or other firm things that you're used to having in your workplace.
Right. And so you said something that prompted a little ding in my head. Caritha does the stories. We have our new program, Lowdown, which is from 9 to 10 o'clock in the mornings that Mike Wall hosts. Mike is in here mm-hmm. as well. And one of Caritha's jobs is to take that and then turn around and make a story for us so we can air it at noon or soon thereafter, maybe it's a 5 o'clock one, so that we can keep people posted on that new information that we learned from the experts and the people in the know that we're bringing in into the studios. And so that's one of the things Caritha's doing is turning that story into a story, those interviews into a story, and also posting them on the website with links to it on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because not everyone can necessarily tune in every weekday at 9 a.m. to hear our guests talk about whatever's going on with their business or organization. And so I think being able to have like a relatively short story that people find accessible on social media and on our website really helps to get that important information out every day.
Right. And the other thing you said was you go for a walk, which that is one of the things they recommend we do. We get out and go for a walk, get that fresh air and sunshine and not be cooped up forever and ever, but do your social distancing. And we've had somebody, maybe I shouldn't say that. We had somebody on the show, didn't we, Mike, the other day that said it was the doctor from Canada, that dogs don't, at this point, we don't have any reason to think our dogs are a problem, so we can take our dogs with us.
No, that's not an issue. They actually had that on All Things Considered last night, too. And
oh, right. I heard that. That's, yeah.
Okay. It's not an issue.
So I just wanted to throw that out there, that taking your dog with you is not an issue. You don't have to worry about viruses, not germs. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk to Mike.
6 feet away from people on the trail.
Right, just keep a little distance from people.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kavitha, for somebody that's isolating themselves at their homes, how are you supplying yourself? I mean, do you have people delivering groceries to you and passing them on at the door, or do you have enough to last you for a while?
So when I started, I did as many groceries as I could, and I'm obviously not great at planning for 2 weeks because I ran out pretty quickly. But I think everybody in Kodiak can attest to this, that we have such an amazing community of really supportive individuals who are willing to help anyone out at a moment's notice. And so my lovely coworkers and friends have been dropping off, you know, packages that I got at the office and doing a grocery run for me. So really, really wonderful support from everyone around me.
And then I mentioned it on the news today. They do have a new group in town. Major Dave at the Salvation Army is heading it up with someone else. I don't remember that name. But if people who are isolated or who are unable to go to the store, the pharmacy, they can call that number. We have it on our website, or will soon. I can't remember. And they can call that number, and they will make arrangements for somebody to go get you groceries or pick up your mail or whatever. And that also is a great way for people who want to volunteer. You know, I want to do something to help. If you're in good health, you're certainly welcome to call that number. They'll set you up with somebody who needs a run to the grocery or needs to go get their pharmacy picked up. So that, I just wanted to point out, is available now.
And I think maybe calling the senior center about that too would be a good way to volunteer your time if you are a healthy person at the moment.
Yeah, and call and talk to people who are isolated,
mm-hmm.
especially those that maybe don't have family or otherwise here around town. That way you can check on them, make sure they're okay. They know somebody's checking on them, which probably gives them some relief. And then also people then can boost somebody's morale, if nothing else. And mm-hmm. I find, as we here at KMXT, full of volunteers, that's how I got started at KMXT, was as a volunteer. You know, it's fun to volunteer. You know, it's fun to do something, and it's fun to help people. So since we're talking...
Yeah, I think that's one of the most, it's one of the best uses of your time when things kind of suck for everybody, is to give somebody else a helping hand.
And since we're talking about volunteers, Pam Foreman...
Well put.
...is our... Pam is our volunteer coordinator here at KMXT.
Yes, I am.
And so,
not anymore. We don't have any.
That's all right. I'm done with that part.
We had to, for those who don't know who are listening, we had to lock the door. We're in, well, not lockdown mode. I guess the building is, and we're the only ones in the building. And so had to make that tough decision. How do we care for our volunteers, who we all love dearly because we all know them personally, so they don't contract something? And how do we protect us in the building so that we don't contract something, because it's so important that we keep providing information? And so Pam maybe can help a little bit here.
Well, you basically have said what I would say, is that for the safety of everybody involved, we decided to lock the building down effective yesterday. And all of those shows that you like to listen to that are volunteer-led or hosted shows, we're going to be putting some other programming in place temporarily While we have the volunteers staying at home or doing whatever they do regularly during the day, that means that that kind of makes an extra push on staff. Not kind of. It does make an extra push on staff because Mike and Willie have to come up with some extra programming to fill all those hours. And in the case of where we have live shows, a staff member will have to be here for borough meetings, city council meetings, school board meetings, etc. Whereas normally we have volunteers that are on the air during those times. So it might be a great volunteer appreciation week when we finally get to open the doors back up for the volunteers because we'll all be
mini
going,
donuts for everyone.
If we get a volunteer to make them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we should start at the beginning, though. You know, we've been going through these protocols for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, we have.
And our first initial decision was to follow newsroom protocol, which was to prevent the news people from being in the building and allow them to work distance-wise. So we worked all the kinks out of that first, and we're sort of awaiting the first COVID case to be announced in Kodiak. And if that happens...
If there is a... said that, it's like, oh, there's one going to be announced. Not necessarily today.
No. We're looking...
Anticipating.
You know, anticipating. I mean, judging by what's happening in the rest of the country, you have to prepare for it. So our preparation was... Let's do what we're doing now and sort of practice good social distancing for a while. If we hear the situation changes, we're going to move in on ourselves a little bit more and get the two news people out of the building. And then Kavitha had contact with this Seattle person, and we accelerated what we were going to do a little bit quicker. And then as we started getting information more from the government sources, decided, you know, it's one of those, there's a lot of microphones involved in this building, you know, and it's hard to maintain sanitation. So I think for the safety of everybody with bringing people into the building and doing that, we just decided for the time being it would be a better safer environment for everybody if we kept it as staff and Joe only for the time being and tried to fill in those volunteer hours.
And Joe, as many of you know, because he and Jenny, but that's not what they use when they're on the air on Sundays. Larry and Martha. Okay, that's the names I was looking for. Joe is our engineer, and he's actually a volunteer engineer, and he keeps things running, has been forever.
Well, that is the pushback, you know, because a lot of our volunteers still want to come in. They want to continue doing what we're doing, but with the staff being as small as it is, it's an enormous amount of work to try and fill the four stations and to program, you know, there is technology, kind of what we've been talking about for years, of being able to have somebody send you a playlist or send you a show and put it together. Well, you'd have to be technically able to do that yourself, or else what you're sending us creates us another hour's worth of work to try and put it on the air, and we just don't have the time to do that now with everything else we're doing.
Right. And so what are some of the things we're doing? We've got the new Lowdown program in the mornings.
Well, we have the Bunker coming up tomorrow.
The Bunker. All right. Tell us about the Bunker. What is it and when is it and what else can we do?
Well, when we first started talking about this, you know, we started thinking about how is it that we would reach out to people in the community. People in the community are now going to be looking for a way to connect if they're more isolated. So...
i.e. bored out of their minds.
Yeah, bored out of their minds. So we talked about maybe a talk show or a music request show or a survival guide or an updated information. I think what we are now is we're a good place for people to go to connect to other people. So when we first were tossing around, Willie got this great idea to, like, turn it into a show that he could talk about survival tips and songs that relate to the apocalypse and zombies and la-di-da. So we're going to roll that out tomorrow at 12:30 in the spotlight slot. Amelia Eagle, who's now on our staff as an assistant front door, like, what actually does she, what does she do? She does a little bit of everything. Like, she's a mini Pam. Mini Pam is putting together a baby bunker show. I'm not sure if we're going to go with that, but we're going to try and do something because we keep hearing back from people that, you know, they're locked up with their kids, and their kids are looking for entertainment and something to do. So they're working with the school district, and they're working with other parents. Diana Barra, who's been involved with the station sort of on and off for a couple of years, came up with an idea to want to do some kids programming before this even started. So Diane and Amelia are working together to try and put together a half-hour daily show, a half-hour once-a-week show to get kids involved.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. And then there's the news bunker. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do with the news bunker yet, but once you two guys are off bunkering.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting.
It's going to be challenging.
It's just ways that we can, you know, we're just thinking of ways that we can deliver information to the community now where everybody's turning to the radio maybe a little bit more than they used to.
And so, I forgot what I was going to say, Mike. It had to do with you.
Well, we've got, now we're making some accommodations for the governments as well, because in addition to the regular, this is something we've been talking about for 6-8 months or so, of broadcasting city work sessions.
And this, borough.
Just the city primarily, because the city had made a request, because the city tends to do more of their work at work sessions than the borough does. The borough usually tends to do most of their work at their meetings. And the city kind of felt like a lot of the input that they needed from citizens, they needed to get out to a broader segment of the population, so they got more input during the work session. So we had talked about broadcasting their city meetings, and it was challenging for various technical reasons, but now it's become a little bit easier, because now with the building closed, then people actually participating by video conference, the city council people, the city's able to go into the borough assembly chambers to do their work sessions. So beginning at the second week of April here, we're going to start broadcasting the city work sessions on Tuesday nights in addition to their meeting the following Thursday. We haven't gotten to the borough yet about, we're just going to continue to operate the borough meetings. And then in the back of our heads, there's always these emergency meetings like we had last Wednesday, that if one of those comes up as well, we're going to do whatever we can to accommodate that kind of programming to be able to deliver it to people in the community and in the villages. So we keep it on KMXT, because KMXT, in addition to streaming capacity, which we don't have on KODK, also gets transmitted to the villages.
Right. And then what I was going to, I wrote a note when you were talking, this sense of a lot of things people in town haven't done, a lot of things we haven't done, people being outside the box, and people are coming up with new ideas for new things to be done, or better ways to do it, or different ways, or how do we, this total bunch of creativity that's going on around town. How to survive this weird period that we're in, either at home or changes in your routine. And it's just been very interesting to me to see how that has come about, whether, like this morning, we were talking with the visitor center and the chamber people, and they were talking about some contests they're having to encourage people to go shop at local businesses. Now the businesses are food businesses are doing takeout and all this takeout stuff. It just, KMXT's had to accommodate as well, as the city and the borough is having to accommodate, school district is. And so we're just, we never know from day to day, week to week, what new thing is going to pop up and change we're going to make or new thing we're going to learn.
Well, it's a resilient community, and you know, it just shows that people work together to make this a community. And I think in the face of difficulties, the community tends to pull together to try and do what's best to keep us going.
True.
And some of the other programming that we're having in the evening is different because we don't have the volunteers.
Right.
And so what are some of those shows, Mike? What kind of things?
We're winging it this week.
No.
Actually, we do. Actually, in a way, we do. And we do have a lot of things because we're having NPR's doing a lot of extra programming, and we're adjusting schedules trying to fit all that in.
There's the NPR has a daily call-in show now that wasn't much of a call-in show. I got a feeling that it sounded like the questions would already been mailed in.
Emailed
so
or something,
there wasn't
yeah.
a live caller on the air. So I don't feel as bad now about moving it to its normal time. Live on the air from the East Coast, it goes at 5 o'clock. And so we had to decide, are we going to take that live show at 5 o'clock and then get rid of the statewide news and then the local news? And, it was definitely not, because this is the time where you really need to find out what's happening locally instead of nationally. I mean, it may be really good information, and we listened to that show last night, that All Things Considered call-in show was great. But it was a nice follow-up from what Lori Townsend had just did and what you had done at 5 o'clock. So we're going to do that all week, except now this week on Thursday is the Borough Assembly meeting. And normally we move our programming around to accommodate the Borough Assembly because we can't run the whole hour of All Things Considered.
I think that's a work session. I'm not sure. Bam's giving me a funny look.
There's a borough work session this week that we're going to broadcast. Is that right?
I believe so.
Or there's not.
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
I'm trying to deal with today. You know. So we're doing things like that. I mean, on a daily basis, we're having to kind of scramble things around to change things. So for tonight, instead of Rural Electric and the Freeform show, we have the Midnight Special, which is kind of a folk comedy show that we run in the middle of the morning on one of the HD channels that doesn't get a second play, but it's got great music, and I think it'll fit in for the people that like to listen to Rural Electric. And there's nothing like Mike Sarafchuk's show in the world, you know. I mean, people just don't make that. It's just not a thing that we can match up really well. So when Mike was on vacation a while ago, we started substituting in this thing called geezer rock.
No reflection on you, Mike Sarafchuk. No reflection on you.
I think he just pulled up his suspenders and said, yep. And another show that's This Week in Rock and Roll. And actually, we had some phone calls from people, you know, geezers that said, hey, this is some great stuff. So we're going to keep that running for a while. And then I have to find things that are complementary that match what's on Spruce Tip Brew. We're probably going to run a syndicated program that you might hear if you listen to jazz in the morning on KODK. That Pub Jazz is a 24-hour stream of jazz. So we'll run that in place of CeCe's program. The Thursday night programs won't change because we're usually working on a meeting at that night.
Right.
So we'll run it up to Selected Shorts and the classical show that's after that. We're working on a couple of different things to fit in for what Cheryl does on Friday nights and a rock and roll program on late Friday night. And then Amelia is going to come in on Saturdays and do a live show of the Back 40 so that we can continue to give you information. I mean, that's the problem on the weekends is we're going to have somebody in here during the 12 o'clock hour to be able to give you the Alaska Fisheries Report and the Island Messenger and pass along whatever new announcements that there are and fill in for the no-name show. And then Emilio will come in at 7 o'clock and do an Island Messenger and a live Back 40 show. That'll be fun. Then we'll have a rock and roll program that'll fill that out. And on Sundays, we're going to have an hour of pre-program jazz, I think, at 6 o'clock. And Pam is going to come in at 7, do an Island Messenger, play some jazz until 8 o'clock when we normally run the Jazz Happens. And then we have a chill hour, a couple hours, to substitute for Nightlight.
Chill hour, I like that.
2 hours of chill from Seattle.
Oh, chill. From Seattle. Yeah. Chill. When you were talking, Mike, it reminded me of the very first Iraq War, when we had so many things going on, and so the station, trying to keep people up, because our National Guard had gone over there, so we were particularly close to what was going on. And we had a lot of programs we'd never aired before, a lot of BBC, a lot of news programs. It was just like junk news junkie heaven back then. And that's kind of what this is reminding me of, is we're hearing different things. We're having a chance, make it a positive. We're hearing things we're not normally hearing, get to experience new things on the radio we don't normally. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, it's a positive, though I do feel bad that our volunteers aren't able to come in, especially since they love this so much, but we do what we need to do. So, and I also wanted to point out, we're almost out of time here. If you guys have anything else you want to add, local news. Mike mentioned local news, and we opted to keep that local news slot where it was as best we could, and we did that with the morning as well. That 7:19 news. It's important. I mean, we discuss this again and again and back and forth as we do a lot of stuff here right now. That it's important that people know when they can listen to local news. And that would be especially important if this COVID-19 virus situation goes into a higher level, that we would have more information more often. We'd anticipate we'd get a lot of more local news reports or local announcements or alerts or whatever. And this way we would be able to, you would know that at 7:19, noon, and 5 o'clock that you could turn on the radio and pick up what we had as the most current information. So that was a hard decision in some ways, what with NPR and the special programming they're providing. But to our best of our abilities, we will keep those newscasts where they traditionally have been.
Right.
Well, we're coming up on 1 o'clock, so... thank you, Pam, for coming in.
Sure.
And Mike for coming in. And Kavitha, you've been quiet there, but thank you for coming in, starting us out.
Do you need anything? Do you need anything over there?
No, I'll call when I need more groceries, but thanks.
We miss you.
Yeah, I miss being around you.
We should have a welcome back party. Have Willie cook us up something.
That'll be lovely.
As long as you're well and you're just hibernating and not ill. So you would have shown a sign by now?
Sorry? I still have another 6 or so days in which I could potentially show symptoms.
Oh, it just seemed like you should be coming back by now. You've been gone a long time, it feels.
So, Kavitha, does it tweak you out? I mean, are you actually like going and looking in the mirror all the time and taking your temperature?
No, I mean, I guess I was a little bit nervous towards the beginning. The chances of me actually having the virus are quite low. It just feels better to do the responsible thing and stay home. But I haven't had any symptoms. My temperature is normal.
Great.
Good. Good deal.
Good to know.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. You've been listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock. I'm Maggie Wall.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.